Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pocketoid, the internet's only podcast that is about handheld video games and other video games that Jordan and Addison like a lot. And this week I am joined by Addison, who will be played by actor Robert Downey Jr. And I'm your host, Jordan, who will be played by actor Johnny Depp. Wow. Very problematic. It was not my choice. The studio said that that's what the people wanted, and I guess that's where we all have to end up. So
sometimes I forget that Johnny Depp and Robert Downey Jr. aren't the same person.
I found out today that they are making another Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movie.
Yeah, probably.
Those movies were, they were pretty good.
Not a fan.
I'm gonna see that.
That's okay.
I mean, he does a big punch. He does punch a big man that one time.
Yeah.
I saw it on a, I learned it from watching a Hassan video, and someone mentioned it in the replies. I won't explain what the video was. That's not what you're here to hear.
That's what I'm here to hear.
Anyway, my name's Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27. You can follow the show at Pocketoid. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host.
It's me, Addison. You can follow me on the internet at Addison_L.
Yep. And the show, you can, I already said you can find it at Pocketoid, but you can also go to our website, pocketoidpodcast.com. That's where you can find other stuff, like a link to our Twitch channel, which is a barren wasteland full of tumbleweeds and spider webs, because we have not been doing it. But we need to do it. It's just been, life in general has just been oops, all bummers.
Yeah.
So it's been really hard recording the podcast. But things are looking up finally after a few months. So hopefully things are getting better. Who knows? Maybe they're not. Who knows? It's all a crapshoot. Maybe we're all dead by the time you hear this. Who knows?
I mean, Jordan wanted to stream this week, but I got a bad toilet and I got to have the toilet doctor come.
Hey, Addison.
Yeah.
Since people will probably be hearing this. They might, I don't know, it might be spooky season by the time you're hearing this. You know what? It's already spooky season for me. I want to know what spooky movies you've been watching.
Oh, well, as per usual, not as many as you, but let me just open up the old Letterboxd real quick. today, actually, I was homesick and I booted up our good friend Tubi, and first I watched a Bigfoot documentary. Not really scary, just very boring and stupid.
You need to watch Exists. Watch the movie Exists. It's so stupid, you'll love it.
Okay.
It's a Bigfoot found footage movie from the director of the Blair Witch Project, and it's so dumb, yeah, and it's great.
That does sound good. I watched Castle Freak today.
Oh boy.
I also realized that they made a remake of Castle Freak last year.
Yeah, that's don't watch that one.
But Castle Freak,
also maybe don't watch Castle Freak. It's basically every trigger warning you can think of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good warning there. But I enjoyed Castle Freak. I thought it was all right. Not my favorite thing ever, but I had a good time. The titular Castle Freak looks like Danny DeVito's Penguin.
The makeup is like incredibly impressive. Actually, In Praise of Shadows just did a video about Castle Freak and H.P. Lovecraft, and also like some personal stuff in there too.
That's why my friend said he was going to watch Castle Freak last night. I was like, that's a really weird coincidence, but he probably watched that In Praise of Shadows video.
Yeah, dude. In Praise of Shadows rules. Also, good Twitter friend of mine. Good guy. Go check out his channel. Maybe like my top five YouTube channels. Extremely good.
Yeah, it's very good. Saturday I watched Zombie Death House.
I heard you say that was terrible.
Yeah, I booted it up on that YouTube channel that you showed me, Horror Realm. I was just going through looking for anything that sounded interesting just based on the cover and the title, and I landed on Zombie Death House. It's a movie where they're like experimenting on prisoners and they get turned into zombies, and it was just pretty boring. There was some good practical effects in there, but there was only like, felt like a couple moments of that, and so overall I was just kind of bored of that.
I'm sure most of the movies on that channel are pretty bad, but I have found a couple very good ones on there that I'll talk about here in a second. So
the only other movies that I should mention is I'm halfway through the Wishmaster quadrilogy, and
hell yeah,
Wishmaster rules.
It's something.
I really like Wishmaster 2 a lot.
Oh no,
it's real good. And then just to kind of transition over to you, I know that we've both watched film of the year Malignant.
Yeah, which is fucking bonkers and fun.
Yeah,
and stupid and great.
All I can say is if you haven't seen Malignant, you should go watch Malignant. If you don't know anything about Malignant, keep it that way and go watch Malignant.
Yeah. Just cozy up for a night and turn your brain off and watch that big dumb movie.
And
it's just wild to me that we could get a movie like that in 2021 from like a Hollywood studio and a big name director.
Yeah. And if you know, if you make it a little ways into that movie and you're just like, man, why were they so insistent that I watch this? Just keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Yeah.
Keep watching all of Malignant.
Keep going. You'll get there. And then you'll go. That's how I was. I was like watching it and I was just like, this is just like a stupid fucking James Wan like movie. I'm not into this type of story. And then it just goes.
Yeah. And then it turns out it actually goes. Very into this kind of story.
Very into this kind of story. this particular story. Yeah. Oh man.
I liked Malignant a lot and I have not stopped thinking about it.
Yeah, same. It's that's definitely been one of my favorite discoveries this month. I think my other favorite discovery this month is Dolls, which I'd never seen before.
Mm.
But I think that was the first big hit for Charles Band of like Full Moon Productions, and he went on to make 5,000 movies that were just Dolls again, including the Puppet Master series. But Dolls is really good and is actually very well written and well directed. I think it's a Stuart Gordon movie, so same director from Castle Beyond Freak. Reanimator, Castle Freak. Yep. But it has much more of like, it's not like his usual very horny and wet puppets. It's like
horny
it's
a little and more wet like, puppets.
Yeah, that's Stuart Gordon. All right. It's a little more like, I don't want to say kid friendly because there's definitely some shocking stuff in it. But it's like, it's a movie I would have been cool. Like I would have loved if I had found it when I was like 13 or something. And even now I still love it because it's really well made. But yeah, Dolls is great. It's on Shudder and some other places. So speaking of that YouTube channel, what's it called? Horror Realm? The one I suggested?
Yep, Horror Realm.
Horror Realm is this YouTube channel that just has tons of like pretty bad, but also some great stuff, like just like obscure and foreign horror movies, mostly from the 80s and 70s. And there's three I've watched on there so far, which is Body Count, an Italian slasher film that is... pretty fun and just really stupid, and also like everyone keeps going back to this one place where everyone gets killed and you're like, stop going back to that one house, stop it, and they just keep doing it. I also watched Creatures from the Abyss, which is the most bonkers fucking movie I've seen since Malignant. Creatures from the Abyss is not a good film, but it is a great film. It's dubbed. It's an Italian movie, and it's basically about these teenagers who get shipwrecked or something, and they wind up on this really horny cruise ship that has a porn shower and also has a lab where they're making fish monsters.
Hell yeah!
And then it just goes off the fucking rails. And then I also watched a movie on there called The Cellar, which was pretty fun, actually. I think it's from the director of Night of the Demons, and it had like a really good monster, even if like the movie itself wasn't like crazy compelling. But it's just about this family that moves out to like the desert, and they've got a house, and there's a monster in their basement, and no one believes the kid that there's a monster in the basement. And there's some really problematic stuff about the monster being created by the Native Americans' hate for the white man.
It makes it
sound like the Native Americans were just racist, when in fact that is not the reason that they didn't like white people.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, I can't imagine why they didn't like him.
Up until that part, I was like, hey, that sounds a lot like, well, never mind. I won't spoil Castle Freak for anyone.
You don't want to spoil Castle Freak.
I guess I kind of did, even though I just said that. But anyways.
Here's the spoilers for Castle Freak. There's a family in a castle, and there's a freak in the castle.
Yeah. And the girl is blind.
Yeah.
And she don't know it, the freak, sometime.
Yeah.
But it be the freak.
It do be the freak. Another movie I watched recently is called H.P. Lovecraft's Necronomicon, which is directed by the producer of From Beyond and freaking, what's it called? God damn, what's it? I hate myself. From Beyond and Reanimator. It's directed by the producer of From Beyond and Reanimator. But it's an anthology movie based around no Lovecraft movies in particular, or stories in particular, but just kind of like Lovecraftian shit. Mm. And one of the shorts is directed by the director of the 1990s Gamera films.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a pretty good anthology. I'm surprised I don't hear more people talk about it.
And
I had a lot of fun.
What was it called one more time?
The Necronomicon from 1993.
Where can one watch the Necronomicon from 1993?
Probably somewhere illegal, because let me tell you about how I found this movie. I'm currently selling a lot of like doubles of VHSs that I have, and I was going through and making sure none of them were like damaged or anything, and I pull out my Halloween tape, and guess what?
Not Halloween
in that case. It was Necronomicon, and I was like, what the fuck is this movie? And so I put it on, and I was like, oh, shit, these puppets do be slimy. They also, it's like, none of the stories are particularly good, but none of them are particularly bad either. It's just like a fun time. But also, like, how in these anthology movies, they have like an overarching like plot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They put the, God, why am I? Jeffrey Combs, you know, the Reanimator man.
Yeah.
Also the Castle Freak man and the From Beyond man. They put him in makeup to try and make him look like H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, no.
But he sure just looks exactly like Bruce Campbell. I thought it was Bruce Campbell at first.
Yeah. Either you or Mitzi posted something about that, and I was like, damn, yeah, that dude just looked like Bruce Campbell.
Anyway, so those are my recommendations, I guess.
Well,
it's been a lot of stupid movies, and I'm having a good time.
Most of those sound very good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're like almost 15 minutes into this podcast about video games. We haven't talked about one video game yet. So
sounds right. Sounds how it should be.
We used to always do this segment at the end of the show, like just to tack something on. But this week I needed to talk about some spooky movies first. So
just gotta get all the pent up spook out.
Yeah, it's been swelling and throbbing. It's about to burst.
Ew.
Just the spook juice everywhere. All
right, please stop.
Very excited. Very excited for Halloween.
Yeah, Friday. Friday is October 1st.
Friday is October 1st. It's also the opening of me and Mitzi's horror project.
Yeah.
We're going to be showing off 5 horror portraits we shot this year, and very excited for people to get to hang out and just have fun and drink and talk and look at spooky portraits and listen to my spooky playlist I made on Spotify.
It's going to be very appropriate because I'm going to be terrified.
But not of the spooky portraits.
Not of the spooky portraits. Just
of the spooky social anxiety.
Being around a bunch of people.
Yeah, I think it'll mostly be fine. I can't think of anyone who's coming to this that isn't vaccinated, so I'm not like worried. But you know, whatever. Okay, hey, let's talk about video games now.
Okay.
So we recorded an episode, and things just went down the shitter, and it didn't release. So we've probably got a lot of video games to talk about, but that's fine, whatever. But I want to start. I want you to start, Addison. Tell me about what video games you want to talk about this week. What have you been playing?
Oh,
what's on your mind?
No, man.
I bet you have a lot.
Yeah, I do. There was a sale on like just warehouse returned items, and I got some controllers. I'm pretty.
Oh hell yeah!
Pretty excited about that. I got another 8-bit Do controller. Not the not another Pro 2, which would have been nice, but I got an SM30 Plus. And I grabbed it because it was like on sale for like $16 or something as like new condition. And I was like, you know, I really wish this had that profile switcher, but it's just going to be connected to the Mister pretty much. So whatever. And so that came in today and I connected it to the Mister, and that's all I need it to do now is just be the player two on the Mister.
Oh yeah.
I also saw the Hori split pad controller. Do you know
which
what
one is that again?
Huh?
Oh, that's like the Daemon X Machina trailer or controller, right?
Yeah.
It's slap an Xbox 360 controller. Yeah. Slap your Switch in between an Xbox 360 controller, basically.
It was on sale for like about $20 like new. And so I grabbed that and I've just kind of been holding that. It feels real good.
I hear a lot of people say they like that controller.
I haven't really played with it too much because I like just got it like an hour before we started recording, but it's light enough that I think this probably doesn't have rumble, and that's kind of a bummer. I'm guessing it probably doesn't have gyro either, but you know,
nope, it doesn't.
It's whatever. It feels really good, and I played a little bit of Castlevania and that felt good. Which leads me to Castlevania Advance Collection, which was a shadow drop from this recent Nintendo Direct that we had. And it's got Circle of the Moon, Aria of Sorrow, Dracula X for some reason. And
for whatever reason.
Oh my god, what's the other one? What's the other Advance one?
Lament of Innocence.
Yes. And so I've been playing some Circle of the Moon, and hey, game's good.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when you just abuse the shit out of save states.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm going to save right here, and oops, I died. Guess what? No, I didn't. I'm right back.
Yeah, that was like my only thing, because I recently beat that game just like a month or two ago, actually, and like that was the only thing. So there were just a few points where I was like, oh, okay, wow, I died and got sent very far back. That's annoying.
Yeah.
So yeah, that sounds nice.
They've got like a lot of little extra settings in there. Or you can like look at a bunch of concept art that is like just really nice. Can change the game version over to like the different regions. I don't really know what the difference is, but you can do it.
I've never heard of that either, and I'm a big Castlevania fan, so I'm not sure if it really even matters that much or if it was just like a little extra feature they put in there.
Oh, also before anyone yells at us, it's Harmony of Dissonance, not Lament.
You're right. I'm thinking of Lament of... Never mind. Whatever. I'm thinking of the PS2 one.
It also has a music player, and within the games, like, you've got a bunch of different, like, visual filters and, like, wallpaper options, so you can, like, do, like, pixel perfect or... and have, like, a wallpaper on there if you want. You can kind of customize it to however you want. And,
do they have like a Game Boy Advance LCD grid filter?
You know, I can't remember. I'm gonna look real quick because I just have it right here. No, not really. You've got like full screen, standard, and pixel perfect. There's not really, and then like the different wallpapers, but you can't really do any like filters. So
I just always do like that GBA like grid when I'm playing GBA games.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot that I could talk about. I'm just going to kind of speed round some stuff because we just don't have time. I've been playing No More Heroes 3. It's fantastic.
Oh shit. God, we are so far behind. We've never reviewed that.
Yeah. I really enjoy No More Heroes 3. It's exactly what I, expected it to be. Which is to say that I love it and, some people don't, and that's okay.
It's okay to be wrong.
It's pretty much what I expected it to be, and it's fantastic. I know we both have been playing Cruise and Blast, And I don't know if you want to talk about that right now or if we should wait.
Sure, we can talk about Cruisin' Blast.
Cruisin' Blast is amazing.
It's fucking great.
It's a port of the arcade game, but they've got like some extra, like a tour mode. And
they've added a lot of stuff. They added like extra boosts in. They added like a money system in. Like, I guess they added some additional tracks that might may or may not be based on some of the tracks from the Fast and Furious games that they also made.
Oh,
Yeah. It's they added some like new vehicles and stuff. It's dope.
The most important thing though is that you can be a Triceratops and put neon on its big frill plate thing. And that,
yeah, and you,
that's very and, good.
And then you can unlock a metal like head for him in like a tail spike.
I didn't know you can, that.
And then you can unlock rockets for his legs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's very good. It's a good racing game where you can be a helicopter or a UFO or a dinosaur.
And the helicopter is my favorite vehicle so far. It's just really good.
The game like plays very similar to like Mario Kart. But
yeah.
Every time, like, all those courses are just so visually overstimulating where you're just like, holy shit, there's a lot happening.
Yeah, I first started playing it with my kid in the room, and he was just, like, staring at the TV, and, like, his eyes were, like, widening and widening and widening as he was like, what is this?
Oh, man. It's fantastic. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I love it. I even got it for basically free because for more than free, Best Buy paid me $5 to get it because I realized I had like a gift card I'd forgotten about and I was like, let's just try this, and it was like $35, and then Best Buy had a deal where they're like, you get a $10 gift card if you buy this game. So I was like, oh sweet, so I just got a $5 gift card to take this game home. Basically, it was dope.
Yeah, I keep meaning to contact Best Buy because I never got my email. And it's probably too late,
that sucks.
But whatever. I thought I might try anyways.
I do like that deal they've been doing, though. I think I'm going to keep buying from them because it seems like they've been doing that a lot with like a lot of recent game releases.
Yeah.
Like the $10 gift card thing.
Also played some WarioWare Get It Together.
We played some of that together, yeah.
Yeah, that game is very fun. It's it's like not my favorite WarioWare ever, but I do really enjoy it, and you do unlock a lot of really cool stuff afterwards.
I had really low expectations for it because I was not a fan of like the input style and all that. But then when we sat down and played it, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely not like any other WarioWare, and I really like that because it's neat to see them still, after all these years, like mixing things up and trying new stuff. Like,
yeah,
I kind of thought since everyone went kind of crazy over Gold, even though, you know, it came out late in the 3DS life cycle, so I don't think it sold particularly well. I was kind of afraid, you know, maybe they're done doing like some of the gimmicky stuff, but, you know, they still did it with this one, and I think it is pretty fun. It, you know, sometimes you have to use characters that are not fun, but I think it's really interesting to have all of these different mini games, and then you have to, you know, figure out the same objective in different ways just because, like, all these different characters play so differently.
Yeah, that's, like, the most impressive thing to me is how, like, you can have all these characters that control so wildly different. Like one character can't move, he can only like throw discs, you know, and then another character is like all platforming. It's so weird, but then they all can they each have their own ways of solving each of these problems, which is pretty neat. You're right, it's like that's the biggest issue is when you get stuck with playing a character you're like, I don't want to play this character.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it can also make it a little confusing too because it like it randomizes you between three different characters, so you never know what input you're going to be using, and so sometimes it can be like I, you know, it'll say, you know, it'll give you the instruction, you know, jump over the log or whatever, and you'll be like, what am I doing? And it's like you die before you realize what you're supposed to be doing.
WarioWare, baby.
It is, but I feel like one of the strengths of the other games is like It's like, suck the booger up your nose, and you immediately know what to do. Because, like, when your controls are either just the D-pad or, like, one or two buttons, you can immediately figure out, like, intuit, like, oh, it's going to be this. But, like, with these guys, they can run in all directions, or they can, you know, throw discs all over the place or whatever. So it's like, I don't know. It adds, like, a level of complexity that kind of messes with the formula, like, a bit.
Oddly enough.
It's still great.
Oddly enough, 9-volt. Probably is like the closest one to playing a classic WarioWare, but also one of the most frustrating ones to use.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's
it's a great game though.
He just
it's
keeps moving on the skateboard constantly.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He just runs back and forth. You're just like, dude.
Worth noting, it is $50, so $10 cheaper than most first party Nintendo games, and there is a demo on the eShop for it.
Yeah. Give it a shot. It was a lot of fun multiplayer, too. I'd like to play more of that soon.
Yeah, we'll definitely play some more of that, especially because after beating it, you unlock a lot more that you can do multiplayer. Yeah. And I haven't even done all of that yet, because a lot of it you can't even do if you're just by yourself, which that also kind of sucks, but, you know. I have a review that is a belated review. Like we said at the top of the show, life has been kind of a nightmare. So apologies. Apologies are owed to Picogram and publisher Rose City Games that sent us Garden Story. And Garden Story is available now. It is $19.99. You've probably seen it on the Wholesome Game Directs quite a bit. So maybe you're already familiar with this game. So played it on the Switch, but is also available on PC. I don't recall if it's available elsewhere, but I do know definitely Switch and PC. So Garden Story is a very colorful Zelda-like with also some like resource management and kind of town building stuff. So you have a loop of going from area to area and taking on requests from the different villagers and completing those requests to just build the village back up. And all of the characters are like cute little cherries and grapes or mushrooms and stuff. And it's all just very kind of fall, spring feeling and like a lot of just kind of storybook vibes. And you have to battle against the rot to kind of purify these areas and keep everything nature-y and clean. And it's just it's a really enjoyable loop, and it's fun to just jump into and run through for a while.
It's very cute. We actually played this at PAX in 2019, and it was I really enjoyed what we played of it then. I have not gotten a chance to try the full release, but I liked a lot what I played of it.
Yeah, it really caught my attention at PAX, and really just, I could immediately tell, like, oh, this is my shit. You know, going and doing some town building stuff, everything's cute, and, like, it's Zelda. And so, yeah, it really just kind of hits a lot of check boxes for me. You can also, you know, upgrade your different tools and stuff and get different things for your house to, you know, decorate your house and get different abilities and resources in your home.
How's the story?
The story's good. It's just nothing that is going to be something that you're going to remember the rest of your life or anything, but it's, you know, going back to, you know, the storybook vibes, it's very just like a wholesome story of saving the village from the bad guys. So, not, you know, it's something that you've seen before, but it fits for this game, and it's very nice. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other questions on this?
No, it looks very pretty, and I want to play it, and I'm glad you like it. It's good. It's nice to hear that it turned out good, because it's definitely one of the ones at the top of my wish list right now.
Yeah, I enjoy it quite a bit. And so I would give Garden Story a buy it. So thank you to Rose City Games for sending that over.
Awesome.
Okay, a few more just to kind of blast through. I've been playing Psychonauts 2, and it is incredible. That's like,
keep hearing that.
Definitely game of the year contender for me. I absolutely adore that game.
It's so crazy how well they nailed that. that just like never happens anymore, how like someone makes a sequel and it's like especially that good.
Especially when there's that big of like a time gap between the first one and the second one. Like I think most people were kind of ready for this to not be good.
Yeah,
or at least
I was.
To just be disappointing.
Yeah, I just you know, I just fully expected like another. I thought it would be decent, but I was like, well, there's no way to capture the magic of the first game. You know, it's like they've got that was how many years ago, and then it sounds like they absolutely nailed it, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's oh my god, I can't get over it. It's just so good. I also this weekend started up Sable. And
oh, is that out?
Yeah.
Oh shit! I need to get that. I didn't realize it was out already.
So it's I don't know if it's going to be like this for like indefinitely or what, but as of right now it's just on Xbox and PC.
Oh, it is? I thought it was coming to Switch too. Wow, never mind.
I like didn't look into it real hard, but I didn't see anything about a Switch release.
Okay, never mind.
Which
then.
Might be for the best because it chugs on the Xbox.
Oh, and woof.
I'm really hoping that that's something that they can fix because I think this game is incredible and it's like one of the prettiest games I've ever seen in my life. And like the soundtrack from Japanese Breakfast is like so good.
Yeah.
And I
that's
really
like the big,
like,
that's the big thing for me is I just like, I love Japanese Breakfast. She's like maybe like one of my top 10 musicians out there right now. And I'm just like, I want to hear that soundtrack.
Did you listen to that project she did with the guy from Crying?
Yes. It's so good.
So, yeah, I think the soundtrack is closer to Bumper than it is Japanese Breakfast sounding.
Hey, that's fine and with me.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I really, really liked Bumper. So, it's just, it's a real disappointment that every time I play it, it's just dropping frames left and right. Because, like, it's a beautiful world, and I really enjoy just running around and exploring in it. And, like, it's one of those very chill, like, easy-going games where, like, there's not really any combat, and you can just kind of take it at your own pace and just, you know, do whatever. But, man, the performance on it was just kind of killing it for me.
Yeah, that sucks.
All right. I have two things left that I want to talk about just real quick. The first just being that I've been playing my Mister a whole bunch more. I just, the Mister is incredible. And I'm really happy that I spent several hundreds of dollars to be able to get into the dip switches and service menu of Tapper. A thing that, you know, you just never really think about when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you might see the arcade man go in and mess with that stuff, and you might get a look behind the curtain of what that world is like. But now I have the power. I have the whole arcade in my little aluminum box, and I can flip the dip switches. I can go into the service menu and make it make the laugh noise and put all the colors on the screen. I like Tapper a lot. Tapper's great.
Yeah, Tapper's dope, man. I love that game.
I also was playing Tough Turf. You ever played Tough Turf?
No, it sounds familiar, though.
It's like a Sega 16-bit arcade game. It's like a fighter.
Nope.
Not a fighter. Like a beat-em-up is what I meant. It's just kind of some proto Streets of Rage stuff, and it's not bad. It's cool. You know, considering that it's like a late 80s like beat 'em up, like it's pretty good.
I really need to get my Mister set back up. I finally have been working on my N64 flash cart that died, and Mister is the next project on my list. So,
yeah, I going through the Mister recently. There's been a few games where I've been like, oh, I don't have that on here, and so I'm mentally making a list that I need to physically make as well. Of games that I need to just FTP over onto that Mister.
It's a cool. It's such a cool little guy. I just love it.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
God, it's such a fantastic little boy. I love him. All right. And I have a review that we'll do real quick.
Okay.
Jordan.
Yes.
You like skateboarding?
I sure do.
what if a skateboard had a bird on it?
Sounds pretty good.
Would you call it Skatebird?
Yeah. I have literally never, until this singular moment, realized that Skatebird is a pun on skateboard. I just thought it was a game about a skating bird, so they called it Skatebird. I never thought about skateboard, not even one time.
Yep.
I'm so stupid.
Well, Skatebird, the long-awaited game from developer-publisher Glass Bottom Games is finally out. It is $20 on the eShop. It's available also on Xbox and PC, maybe PlayStation. I forget if it is on PlayStation or not. And it is $20. And also, it is on Game Pass if you want to give it a try there. So, Skatebird is just like a small skateboarding game. Like, it knows that it's not Tony Hawk, but it's a little more ambitious than something like Ollie Ollie. So it's not like a flat side-scrolling kind of skateboarding game, but an open world 3D stylized like a Tony Hawk, but also it makes me think of more like those early levels of Katamari Damacy, because you're a little bird on like a little tech deck skateboard. So like,
yeah,
you're in like a room, but everything looks real big because you're just a little bird. And whenever you start it up, you've got a bunch of different birds you can choose from. All kinds that I don't remember the names of because I don't know birds, but I decided to be a kookaburra because I think those birds are pretty cool. But you've got like, I don't know, like a chickadee and like different parrots and just all kinds of birds. And then you get into the game. And you can also customize your bird, I should mention. Like, you can put sunglasses or like a scarf or different headphones or, you know, whatever you want just to make your bird look even cooler. And then you jump into the game and you start playing it, and it very quickly overstays its welcome.
Yeah, this is what I've heard. I was kind of dreading it.
I had been looking forward to Skatebird, and I wanted to like it so badly, but it's just the physics and the controls are just not really up to expectations. Because, you know, I mentioned Tony Hawk and Ollie Ollie, and both of those games are, you know, fantastic skateboarding games. And there's also, you know, Skate. I've never really played Skate, but I know that people like that one a lot. And I think the things that really make those games, when you get down to the fundamentals of it, are just how good the controls are and how good it feels to pull off those tricks. And this one, you just always feel like you're not really going fast enough, and like there's like a lot of like weird environmental physical things where like I would get stuck in a corner and like the timer would just run out on an objective just because I got like stuck in some weird corner thing, and it's just really frustrating. I wanted to like it so much more than I did, and I do think that it does some like neat things. They do have some like fun collectibles in there, at least. Like, you can get mixtapes that will add songs from just like different artists. Most of the artists were not anything that I really was familiar with, although like everything sounded pretty good to me. The one that I was familiar with, and other people might be familiar with, though, is We Are the Union, a ska band, which, if I remember correctly, features the person behind Ska 2 Network. I'm forgetting their name. And, yeah, We Are the Union, great ska band if you're into ska. But, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing in a skateboarding game is it feeling good to play and everything feeling tight. And it felt like this game could have used another year or two, and that's just a bummer because it had been in development for a while. It pains me to say that I think it's a try it, especially since it is on Game Pass. If you have access to Game Pass, you have a, there's no reason to not download it and give it a shot.
I'm not surprised. I've heard, I mean, most people I know would have given it a pass at this, or given it a pass at this point. Cause like, I think it feels like the controls are probably too floaty, as at least, and that's what I always thought when I looked at the trailers. I was like, this looks like a really floaty game. I hope it turns out okay. And then when I saw it come out and I saw those review scores start hitting and I started hearing from friends, I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, all my suspicions were kind of confirmed.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Skatebird, available now on Game Pass and on the eShop for $20. And I think I'm finally done talking about video games forever.
Cool.
So what about you, Jordan? Have you played any video games at all?
Yeah, I actually surprisingly have been at this point. If we'd recorded the last couple episodes, I would have been like, no. But I have been now. I actually went on like a big James Bond kick for a while. I'm still sort of on it.
Oh, nice.
I played through GoldenEye and beat it for the first time. I played through The World Is Not Enough and finished it for the first time. And then I beat Agent Under Fire for the PS2, and now I'm working on Nightfire. I think it's just like the new movie coming out or something that just kind of something in my subconscious clicked, and I was like, I want to play some James Bond games, and that's what I'm doing.
I want to do that because I loved those games so much when they first came out.
Yeah, boy, GoldenEye did not hold up for me, but there were some things I liked about it, but some things were just real frustrating about.
Are you talking about the original GoldenEye?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been banging that drum for a while, though.
Some things just like, I think it's held up better than a lot of people give it credit for, but there was still some stuff that I was just like, oh my God, like this frame rate. And like, when I die, I have to restart this whole damn mission and I have to like, and there's certain, objectives where it's like, oh, yeah, I get this key card. And then, like, I'll shoot the guy who's supposed to drop it. And it drops somewhere where I can't see it, or I just can't find that key card anywhere. And it's going to start the whole damn mission over. There's, like, a lot of stuff like that. The World Is Not Enough had a few, like, control issues. And then Agent Under Fire was so good. More like, this game is fire. I loved that game, dude. I really enjoyed it. And I got it for $2 or $2.50 from our local game store because it was like they couldn't get rid of their copy. And I was just like, yeah, I'll buy this. And it was so good.
I love that game so much.
Yeah, Agent Under Fire is great. And now I've moved on to Nightfire, which is also great, but somehow feels a little more outdated than Agent Under Fire. And I was like, why do these controls feel weird? And then I read more about it, and it's built on by the same team and the same engine as The World Is Not Enough for the N64. So it actually feels a bit like a step back in some ways. Like it's running on an N64 engine, which is kind of wild. But I've heard the one after Nightfire is like the best one. So I'm very excited to start that one soon. And then, yeah, I guess I'll do the Sean Connery one too, because why not?
I never played that one. I want
to. Yeah, it's cheap. They're all cheap. You can find all those Gen 7 James Bond games for super cheap. So I highly recommend them. They're a lot of fun. They have good campaigns. Like these days, if you bought a shooter for like the 360, it's done and it's all multiplayer based, but these games actually have like decent campaigns. So that's why I'm having fun with them. But yeah, so the James Bond games are good. I like them. I like playing those games, but I've also been playing some Nintendo Switch. Would you like to hear what I've been playing on the Nintendo Switch?
Yes. Madison? Please tell me.
Oh, man, I bought this game. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called Quake.
Oh, yeah, I know Quake.
Quake's fucking awesome. It came to my attention. That was a shadow drop a while back, and I picked it up, and I love it.
You can aim up and down in Quake.
You can aim up and down in Quake, and this remaster is pretty incredible. They've upped the detail on the enemy models. They've, like, upped the animation frames on enemies as well, and, like, a bunch of other stuff. And it's also got online multiplayer, which is super fun. And I think a lot of people have not played Quake 1. I've been banging that drum for a while, but Quake 1 is still my favorite Quake game. A lot of folks hopped in at 2, and there's nothing else that's really like Quake 1. I would say, actually, Doom 2016 is probably the closest thing to like Quake 1. There's like a lot of there's some overlap there. Quake 1 is just like really fast. It feels like the kind of sequel to the original Doom that I wanted. And, man, it's great to have it on the Switch finally. And I hope that people are playing it, because I really want another Quake game in the vein of the first one. Doom 2 gets all the recognition, but Doom 1, I think, is the better game, personally. So, yeah.
What, what do you say to people that would say, like, oh, you can't play those games on a controller, you have to play that mouse and keyboard?
I mean, sure, maybe. I mean, people said that about Doom 2016 as well, and I mean, I'm sure some people can't play it, you know, outside of using a keyboard, but also the Switch's gyro controls are really good, and I don't know, play it on a lower difficulty and just have fun. Who cares? It's like, what, like $10 or something?
Yeah, something or like just, that. Also on just, Game Pass.
Yeah, or just play it on your PC, whatever. It's a good game. And this remaster deserves to be played more. I think it was made by Night Dive Studios, the guys who made the Turoks, the Turok ports too. So it's done really well.
That is correct.
Also been playing Dodgeball Academia. That's been kind of my main game.
I need to get back to that.
It's so good. It's a really good game. It's everything I've wanted forever because I love those Nintendo sports RPGs like the Mario Golf and Tennis games on the Game Boy Color and GBA. It's totally in that vein, but it has, it takes place in this really over-the-top world that revolves around dodgeball. It's like you go to a dodgeball school and there's like a big, like legendary dodgeball at the heart of the school. And man, it's just, it's a shonen anime about dodgeball. It's the most dodgeball could be. And it's great.
It's very good. The writing and character design are just top notch.
And the animation too. Like the animation is really good.
It all kind of reminds me of sort of Ditto.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. It has that like 3D environments with like 2D sprites, but like the sprites are like these beautiful hand-drawn characters. God, I just
love
it.
It all feels very Pendleton Ward inspired.
Yeah, as soon as I saw, you know, started seeing screenshots of that game, I was like, I feel like this is my shit. I hope this is good. And then like as soon as I saw some good reviews, I was like, yeah, I picked it up and it is supremely my shit. I think Dodgeball Academia is an essential, like absolutely.
Oh,
I know we did a big review in the last episode, but we don't have time to do that here. But man, yeah, I'll probably talk about it some more in the future because it's a really, really good game. I'm sure like at our Game of the Year episodes, it'll be up there on my list. So what else? Oh, I picked up a game on sale called Vigil, The Longest Night. I played this at PAX 2019, actually, and I wanted a spooky game for Halloween, and it is kind of a side-scrolling... It's a side-scrolling Metroidvania with, like, some Bloodborne influences. I won't say it's, like, that difficult. I'm playing on easy, so honestly, I've been kind of rolling the game. But I'm kind of... I just don't have patience for difficult games right now when my time's so limited. So I've been playing on easy, but it's a really great game. It's like I said, like a side scrolling horror fantasy game. If you like the vibe of Dark Souls and Bloodborne, but you're not into like the super hard difficulty and you're not into, and maybe you're even into like some of the stuff with like the stamina bar, you know, a little bit of weightier combat, but you want something that's not so punishing. I'd say this is a really good, entry point for you. And yeah, especially because it's way more of a Metroidvania slash like Castlevania style, you know, action RPG than it is like a, you know, a Dark Souls like. But it just has a similar vibe to those games. So I've really been enjoying Vigil. I think it's a great Halloween type game to pick up. I think it was on sale for like $10. It's totally worth that. But I'd say it's totally worth the full price too. It's a good game. I would give that a buy it. Go check out Vigil. And then my last game we've already talked about, but it's Cruisin' Blast.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know if you guys heard, but Cruisin' Blast fucking rules.
I was so worried going into it. I was like, oh, I hope they don't screw this up.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of already knew it was good, though, because you'd played the arcade game.
Yeah, but that doesn't like necessarily mean that they weren't going to screw it up.
Yeah. God, I love it. It's just so fun. It's just so stupid and fun. I will say, okay, so we've said all the positives about it. I do have a couple of niggling issues that would make it like the perfect video game. One is like, there's a weird way with the way that like you're leveling up and financial and like the money system works where, if you're playing on like easy, you know, you always get like a set amount of money every time you rank in, you know, in a race. So if you get first place, you get like 1,000 coins. If you get second place, I think it's like 800 coins and so on down the line. But what kind of sucks is it like basically that takes away your motivation to move up to higher difficulties because your car also levels up, and as it levels up, your stats like increase. So like when you get to a harder cup, you're sort of like de-incentivized from trying a new car. Does that make sense? Like you're basically incentivized to stick with one car for as long as possible. And if you want to start a new car, you should like go back to easy difficulty and grind out some levels first.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and I say grind, but you can probably like level up a car to its max level in like maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So it's like not really grinding, you know, there's not like, you're not really losing that much by going back and playing some races on easy. And then the other thing is there's no online multiplayer. And I just really wish there was online multiplayer.
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about that, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of a big missing thing.
The fact that the game is so good that you don't really think about that says a lot. But man, just imagining how fucking wild this game could get with like takedowns and all that stuff, you know, with like, you know, 12 people online or 10 people online would be amazing. So, boy, I would love to see like a sequel to this with online multiplayer and and more tracks. I would buy it day one.
Weren't they saying something about possibly remaking some of the old Nintendo 64 ones?
That'd be incredible, dude. Oh my gosh, I'd go crazy for that.
Wasn't there some tweet about that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe. I didn't see anything about it, but if that happens, I'd be so happy. That sounds so good.
Yeah, I'd be super freaking into that.
Well, that's all the games I've been playing mostly. I mean, there are some other stuff too, but we won't get into all that. You'll be happy to know I've been playing Majora's Mask, though.
Good job.
I finally bought a copy of it, and it cost me a pretty penny, but I just wanted to have that big gold cartridge back on my shelf. It's a good game. I like it. Anyway.
It's funny that, you know, there's a ton of video games out right now that are doing time loops.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there playing the original time loop.
I am. Yeah, it's good. I'm also about to do like a huge revamp on my CRT setup. I've got a shelf coming. It should be ready like this Thursday, I think. And then I'll have like a permanent housing for at least three of my CRTs at all times, which is great.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be, and it's going to have like, I think it has space for like 12 consoles.
So, I can't wait for people to come over and you just have to, they have to look at it and you have to just go, yeah, I'm a crazy person.
No, I'll just say, yeah, I'm cool as shit. Yeah, very excited.
That is 100% going to look like just an insane person thing to anyone. Any just normie going into your living room. You're just going to be like, hey, so what's going on with this? And you can say, look at my 55,000 followers. You don't have that.
I'm broken inside. That's what's going on. I'm being held ransom by the gamers.
My 55,000 followers paid for this.
Yeah. God, I wish they would. Each of you have to give me a dollar to follow me from now on.
Premium subscription.
Yeah, each year. Actually, they did just turn subscriptions on Ko-fi. You can have people like subscribe like on Patreon now.
Weird.
So I think I'm gonna like turn that on and do a kind of a push to get people to do that once my setup's ready and once I'm posting regularly again. I'm gonna be like, hey, if you want to support me, I have basically a Patreon here because this takes a lot of my time and money. So that'd be great. Anyway. But there was also Nintendo Direct. We don't have time to cover everything because the show.
Yeah,
is,
I've got just an infographic up of everything, and I was just gonna kind of go through like the big ones.
Yeah, let's hit big ones very quickly.
That Direct was huge. Like I didn't expect it to be so huge. So
hit me with like the top 10 or stories or so, just the big stuff.
All right. So most important. New Kirby, new 3D Kirby, Kirby.
Yes.
Real good.
God, that game looks awesome. It looks so good. I was very skeptical. So there had been rumors they were making a 3D Kirby, and I was very skeptical because they've tried so many times and it hasn't worked out. And also, I'm like completely fine with side-scrolling Kirby. But then like when I saw that trailer, I was like, there's more hints in that trailer than you think there are too about like how good of a job they've done. Like, all the power-ups have, like, new abilities that fit that gameplay style. And also, like, they still have, like, hidden passageways and stuff that you unlock with certain abilities. Mm-hmm. It's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it looks very, like, 3D Mario-inspired, but also still has, like, some big, like, Crystal Shard vibes going on. I'm very into it. We got another look at Splatoon 3 and saw some new weapons and some details on the campaign.
Wahoo!
I like Splatoon. I like Splatoon a lot, so I'm sure very excited for that.
There's I don't know if you guys are going to convince me to buy this one, because I barely played 2, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's fine. That Mecha Crab, that was real good.
Yeah, I do like the Mecha Crab weapon. That's pretty dope.
We got the direct started off with the announcement of a major expansion coming to Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah,
this summer, because it's not summer anymore, so I can't say next summer. That's weird. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. Not a ton of info on it.
They're supposed to do a big info dump at TGC, apparently.
Yeah, so there's gonna be like new environments, new monsters, all kinds of stuff. Don't count on this being a free update. I'm thinking this will be somewhere between $20 and $40. And I think
it's going to be $50, personally.
Maybe. We'll see. But I will happily give Capcom my Monster Hunter tax to play the Monster Hunter.
Every year I pay my house tax, my car tax, and the Monster Hunter tax.
We saw a dead woman. We thought the woman was dead, but Bayonetta 3 lives.
I was like, what the fuck was he talking about? We watching Twin Peaks?
I have been thinking about doing that again. Bayonetta 3, finally.
Yeah,
It's here. It looks good.
It looks really good.
Heavily inspired from Astral Chain. So this is your reminder to play Astral Chain if you haven't. Because Astral Chain kicks ass.
Also good. I'm very excited for Bayonetta 3. Maybe I should finish the second one. Maybe I should rebuy the second one for the Switch, because I'm never going to hook up my Wii U again.
It does come with a download of the first one.
I'm not playing that game again. I already beat it twice.
I'm just saying, you get that for free with Bayonetta 2.
I bet it'll go really cheap, like, leading up to the third game, so I'll probably wait for that.
Probably, I don't know. If, like, really cheap, if you mean, like, $30.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing, they remembered. They remembered about Animal Crossing. They remembered to turn the cafe on. So we're getting an Animal Crossing Direct pretty soon. And I'm hoping that this is, like, if they're doing a whole Direct, then that makes me think, like,
we're getting a
this
big update.
This is going to be something substantial.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much, but they're up. They're
can't,
up there.
Can't wait to start my island from scratch again.
I didn't include that in my games I've been playing, but I have been playing a lot of Animal Crossing lately, actually.
Oh, nice.
And, like, I've been working on a major rehaul of my island.
I just realized the other day that my 15 million bells are gone.
Oh. Wait, is your whole island gone?
Yeah, because I never backed it up with the backup feature.
Oh, no.
And I lost my Switch, like, pretty soon after that was released, so it's gone.
Well,
all my other games are fine because, well, I guess my Splatoon 2 data is gone, too, because that doesn't use the backup feature, but I don't care that much.
I can donate to the cause when you
we'll see.
Boot Animal Crossing up again.
I'm basically just waiting for them to drop, like, a huge expansion, and then I'll, like, go back to it and just, you know, start over fresh, but
there's so much in here. I don't even know what to jump to next.
Rune Factory 5. Get gay married in Rune Factory 5.
Hell yeah. Gay married in Rune Factory 5. Let's go. Yeah. Finally got a release date sometime in March, I think.
Yeah, it's March, like, 22nd or something. Very excited.
Chocobo GP.
Yes. Yes. New Chocobo Racing. Looks so good. I was watching, like, the YouTube comments on the stream, and everyone's like, oh, never heard of fucking Mario Kart before. And I was like, yeah, shut the fuck up. You're welcome to the late 90s where there's more than one kart racer. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what if people said that about any 3D platformer?
Yeah, it's like every racing game that comes out, everyone's like, yeah, every time a racing game comes out, someone's like, oh, ever played Pole Position? Like, shut up. Every time a shooter comes out, like, I could just go play Doom if I wanted to play a shooter.
I could go play Xevious.
I could just go play Wolfenstein 3D.
Man, so much is in here. KOTOR is coming to Switch, which it's weird that that hadn't happened yet, but there it is.
I mean, they're doing that remake, but sure, play the original.
We got the Shadowrun trilogy.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Pretty fun. I'm excited for that.
Hope it's good. And there is like a hardcore, like old school RPG directed by Yoko Taro.
Wait, did I miss this one?
The Isle Dragon Roars.
Oh, I definitely missed this announcement.
No, you didn't. It was that one where like the music was real good and it like looked kind of like Crimson Shroud.
The card game?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was cool. Oh, okay. I was thinking of something else. Yeah, the card game looks cool. I'm down for this card RPG. It's also going to be only be like $20 or $30 or something like that.
Yeah, and there's a demo out now, and it comes out like end of next month.
Yeah.
Or probably end of this month by the time you're hearing this.
I love video game RPGs that force you to use your imagination a bit. I don't know what it is about that, but something about that just appeals to me a lot. It's very, which Crimson Shroud is definitely that, but I like a video game RPG that's like, look, all the characters are cards, or look, it's all takes place on a board, or look, we're not going to show you, you know, this, but you got, I don't know, use your imagination. I don't know. Something about that just appeals to me. I like it. So I'm excited for this game.
And then I'll just also do two more things. Triangle Strategy, that still looks very good. And they have kind of made some updates based on feedback, and it looks gorgeous and like some good Final Fantasy Tactics action.
Yeah.
And then they are expanding Nintendo Switch Online with Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis, and
I don't give a shit because they did announce Glover, so why would I care?
Yeah. Or Buck Bumble.
Yeah, where's Buck Bumble? Where's Space Station Silicon Valley or whatever it's called?
I just want to boot up Buck Bumble and I just want to listen to that song.
Where's Iggy's Wrecking Balls, you motherfuckers?
I don't care how much you want, Nintendo. I will give you the money every month so that whenever I need it, I can just like pull up Buck Bumble and just listen to that song and go, yeah.
Biggity
yeah,
Buck that's, Bumble.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. There was even more stuff, and if you missed it, you should go
too bad.
Give it a view, because I honestly, going into that direct, had pretty lowered expectations, and it kind of blew me away.
Yeah, it was kind of a banger direct. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. There was a lot of good stuff in there. I'm trying. Whoops. Wasn't
Hot
there?
Wheels game looks fantastic.
What did they open with? What was the game they opened with?
Monster Hunter.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of good announcements in there. I was expecting maybe like one announcement and then like everything else was going to be like, here's some more details about what's coming out. And then they were like, big drops. Like, here's some new shit. It
was dope. That's what I was thinking. I thought it would just be like, here's like, we're checking in on Metroid and Shin Megami Tensei and Pokemon.
Yeah.
And like, here's a couple new things and maybe a shadow drop.
We still got Pokemon stuff to learn about too. I bet we'll be getting a Pokemon Direct pretty soon as well. Mm-hmm. I was actually like, it's kind of cool too how I feel like Kirby games always kind of get shuffled to the back. It's like, you know, it's like one of those series that people don't, you know, give much credit to, but when you see like a fully open 3D Kirby game, it's like, oh damn, like this might become like I know Kirby's a big franchise, but Kirby could be right up there with some of Nintendo's bigger franchises if folks really latch on to this idea of what that series could be. So I'm excited. I'm very pumped.
I hope this doesn't mean that the Switch is like on its way out because they're putting a Kirby game out.
It totally is. I definitely think it is though. Like unironically.
Really?
I think that, so it's hard for me to say for sure because there's some weird shit with like the chip shortage and all that and production right now. So I don't know about that, but I think that with everything that happened with the Switch OLED, I think that Nintendo is wrapping the Switch up and they are working on the next successor to it. Probably just, it's, I think it's going to be like a Switch 2. I think that they know this concept of the hybrid console carries enough weight that they can do another one and it'll still just print money. And I think the reason we're seeing the Switch OLED is because the Switch Pro is the next Switch, if I had to guess. But also, I don't know. That for a while, I thought they were going to stretch it out. But now you look at like where the newest consoles are at, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, the Switch feels like it's now two generations behind. How long do they want to keep that going for? Also, I hate to say this to you, Addison. I'm so sorry. But 2017 was 5 years ago.
Well,
and
it was
almost
4 years ago. It's almost,
it's almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And like, it's going to be very soon when, I mean, like we think of like, you know, consoles like the DS as having, or the Wii as having long lifespans when they were around for like 7 years. So it's not unreasonable to say that we might see the successor or start hearing whispers of it by the end of 2022 or 2023. So anyway,
I think it would be reasonable to have an announcement of whatever it will be around the end of 2023 and see it launch sometime in 2024. Nintendo, like, you know, most consoles come out close to holiday, but Nintendo kind of just does whatever they want to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Switch successor doesn't come out at a holiday time.
Yeah. There was some speculation that I've never given much like credit to, that, you know, there may not be another Switch and this is their last console. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's just I
don't buy that like at in the least.
I think it's stupid bullshit, but the president of Nintendo literally has a quote where he says, where he said like, this might be our last console because we're looking at other avenues for making money now. And that kind of terrifies me.
Like, but the president of Nintendo, like, yes, Nintendo of America, I mean?
No, the president of Nintendo in general, whatever his name is, the guy who took over for Iwata. And I don't know if that's, I don't know. I don't think that's true, but I think that Nintendo is watching things like their big amusement park and their movie coming out.
Oh my God, closely. We didn't talk about the movie.
We sure didn't, huh?
Oh my God. I had not laughed that hard in a long time.
My throat was sore for 2 days. I was laughing so hard. It just wouldn't stop. It just, the hits just kept coming, man. It was like every new announcement, God, I would just like hit another layer of like heaving and laughing.
It was completely unhinged. I could not have made that up in a million years if I
absolutely
tried.
Absolutely not. I mean, did you see how many tweets there were on Twitter of people being like, well, I just know they're going to fuck over Charles Martinet. Hope you guys enjoy Chris Pratt as Mario. And then it actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
There's like a few of those going around. Oh, geez. I just want to know what Chris...
Charles Martinet.
Is Chris Pratt going to have an Italian accent? That's what I want to know. Is Chris Pratt going to have like a goofy Italian accent?
He won't, right? They won't do that.
Hey, it's a me, Mario. I'm just like trying to picture what Chris Pratt's Italian accent would sound like. It's a me, Mario.
I don't have the energy for this. It's not in me today.
And Seth Rogen's playing fucking Donkey Kong. I think if Cranky Kong is in the movie, it makes me think that Diddy is also going to be in the movie, but I bet Diddy just makes monkey sounds.
Well, I could also see like Diddy being like an end of movie or like
Addison,
post credits.
No thing. Shut the fuck up.
You know they're gonna have something like that. You know it
hurts so much. I'm gonna see that movie on my 35th birthday. And then I'm never allowed to have sex again.
I didn't hear anything about this like since the announcement. Did they announce like the Japanese voice actors?
No.
There's gotta be a Japanese dub for it.
That's the only way. I only watch my Mario movies sub, not dubbed.
I just wonder if they're going to use like big name like Japanese actors,
or if I don't know, man. I feel like big name Japanese actors are usually voice actors these days, so it'll probably just be like Mario voiced by Sanji.
Hey, all right, sure. Why not?
That guy's in everything. The guy who voices Zoro and the guy who voices Sanji are like in everything.
Yeah, I do hear Zoro quite a bit.
Yeah.
Have you watched Star Wars Visions yet?
No.
I've only seen the first three, but whew.
They're good?
They're good.
All right, I'll get to them. Right now it's spooky season, so I've just been spooking it up.
Yeah.
Every waking moment is devoted to the spook.
Gotta have my spook.
Gotta have my spook. Oops, all spooks. I think tonight we're going to watch City of the Dead, because it was on that new Elvira special, you know? Mm-hmm. And
wait, what? What Elvira special?
You didn't hear about that?
I heard that she was bi. That's all I heard.
Yeah, but she also did her 40th anniversary like special on Shudder. And it was like a live stream where she like brought the show back and did like three or four movies.
Oh, I didn't hear about that at all.
Yeah, and the movies are going up. They weren't up last night, but I heard they're going up today on Shudder, and I want to see if it's like the whole special or if it's just the movies themselves, because I'm like, if it was just a live thing, I'm going to be so sad that I missed it. Yeah, she went and did the Elvira thing again, and she's still just hot as hell, and she's like 70.
Gonna say, how old is she? She has to be up there.
Yeah, man. Dude. Yeah, she's like...
Good for her, though.
Yeah, good for her. Anyway. Damn. So, yeah, go watch some Elvira. Go watch City of the Dead. The movie rules. It's got hot Christopher Lee in it. He's like, looks like he's like 30.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. What?
I was just going to say, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry too. And I hear my boy screaming, so we should finish this up.
He did scream.
Sorry for the absence. We're back now, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you,
I'm not
guys.
Sorry.
Thank you guys for your patience and for listening to this episode. We want to say thank you to the people who let us use their music for our intro and outro. Our intro is Time Trials by Hyper Potions, and our outro is Hut by the River by Sound Market. Thank you to you guys for letting us use your music. You can find links to their music in the show post. Go check it out. And come join our Discord and hang out with us and be friends with us.
Yeah.
It's good. And let us know. We want to hear from you. What spooky movies are you watching this year? Tell us in the Discord. Sure, we're already talking about it in there. It's really weird how the Discord is just like kind of the place I'm in all the time.
Yeah. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, man, this Discord has like become a thing that like is active when we're not around.
Absolutely.
That's weird to me.
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah, it's really freaking weird. But it's fun. I like it. All right. Well, that's the show. Thanks for listening. And thank you for being here, Addison. And I guess
you're welcome.
I guess we'll see you next time. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.